I think having a dietitian in pharmacy is a really great idea, particularly as a community service, but also a good idea for ensuring that people are worked with to talk about their goals from a different perspective rather than just medication, and or they're worked with to support to take that medication. So particularly around signs and symptoms, for example, when we look at things like PTSD, we know when people take antipsychotic medication, they can put on up to 20 kilograms of weight if they don't have support. By having a dietitian involved at the very beginning when they're prescribed the medication can reduce that dramatically, and they're not going to lose weight from what the evidence shows, but they can maintain their weight, maintain their health, and they remain on their medications. Hi, I'm Tara Diversi, President at Dietitians Australia. You're listening to the Pharmacy Business and Career Network podcast.
Welcome to the Pharmacy Business and Career Network podcast, brought to you by the Pharmacy Guild of Australia, focusing on pharmacy management and ownership. The PBCN podcast supports the improvement and growth of your business performance with insights and advice from a range of industry professionals. The PBCN podcast, supporting your journey every step of the way.
When you hear the word dietitian, the first thing you might think about is weight loss management. But what dietitians actually do and the role they play in the healthcare sector might surprise you. This week is Dietitians Week, a week where the focus is about spreading awareness about what it is dietitians do and how they improve our lives. With us today, we have Tara Diversi, the president of Dietitians Australia, who is here to squash some common misconceptions about the dietitian's field. From supporting mental health, minimising side effects from medications and managing disease, dietitians play an important role in Australian healthcare. Here's Tara. Tara, welcome to the show. We're grateful for your time today, and I'm very keen to learn more about what dietitians do and also the synergies between dietetics and the world of pharmacy. So to start with, it'd be great if you can tell us a little bit about your journey into dietetics and ultimately your role at Dietitians Australia.
I am from Cairns, far north Queensland, and as a kid I was really heavily involved in sport, but also in those days I was a little bit overweight and it was something that people, as in my parents, coaches, really looked at. So being involved in dietitian was really early in my life, and then when I was growing up, trying to find health professionals locally, because pre the days of telehealth and things like that, was a little bit difficult, specifically around sport. So I used to travel a bit. So I made it, you know, my mission then to look at what kind of profession can I do that helps people regionally and remotely. And working in dietetics was that for me. So I became a dietitian, loved doing it as my career. It's almost 2002. I've been a dietitian since then, worked in private practice, and then have worked as a teaching focus academic and in media, writing, things like that. And now work a lot in governance and am the president of Dietitians Australia.
So, of course, Dietitians Australia are the leading voice of the dietetics and the nutrition profession in Australia. And you do, as you just alluded to, a lot of advocacy and policy work to support Australia's healthcare needs. What is it that Dietitians Australia does, maybe on a broader spectrum, and who is your actual audience?
So we're a little bit different to some of your registered professions. So we're a self-regulated profession. So we do a couple of different things. We support our members, and that's our focus. And we also regulate the profession and do accreditation for university programs. So we kind of have those dual roles. And that can make it good in one sense, but also difficult as well, because we can't be the full advocate that we could be if we were just a member support organisation. And we need to make sure that we do follow those regulatory functions, and we do have a good focus on regulatory functions as well. We've got just over 8,000 members, 8,500 members, and those members work in a range of different areas. And most people think that dietitians tend to work mostly in weight management, but that's not actually true. We do have a lot of members who work in population health and prevention. We have dietitians who work in corporate and the food industry and helping organisations and food manufacturers make healthier choices for the food that they produce. We've got dietitians who work, of course, in media and communications, and then clinically in the hospital with a range of clinical conditions. So certainly we do have some dietitians that work in weight management, but we also have dietitians that work in with a non-diet approach, So really, really, there's dietitians that work in a range of different areas, and I don't think that that's really well understood. So supporting our members is our main role. On top of that, we need to make accessing dietitians more accessible, more affordable. So the way that we see to do this, one of the ways is advocacy. So looking at those conditions that people don't know about, for example, dietitians in aged care facilities, that's super important around malnutrition, and dietitians to help people with mental health disorders. On top of that, of relevance to pharmacy and pharmacists, I started out in private practice, and I've had some amazing pharmacists in my community. I actually went to high school with Trent Toomey, but have also, as a professional, worked in a number of different areas with some great pharmacists, and we refer our clients on to each other. So particularly around medication compliance, because of symptoms that people may have from taking a medication, and they may stop taking that medication because of symptoms that could be improved through seeing a dietitian and having strategies involved around when they're prescribed that medication, is one of the most helpful things that I have seen as a collaboration between pharmacists and dietitians.
Let's dive into that just a little bit more, because when you talk about dietitians working in a range of areas, for our listeners who are either pharmacists or just they know typically a lot more about pharmacy than they do about dietetics, tell us about what your members actually do. What does a day in the life of a typical dietitian that might intersect with a pharmacy and their patients, what sort of services do they offer? Because most people would have a reasonable understanding of what a dietitian does, but on that pointy health end, what does a day in the life of a dietitian actually look like in terms of the services they offer and what they talk to people about?
So those dietitians that interact mostly with pharmacists are more likely our dietitians who are in private practice or our dietitians who are in clinical practice in the hospital setting. So in that sort of setting, the dietitian will see individuals, and they may see individuals in their clinical setting, or they may see them in their rooms, or they may also do home visits. So in the dietitian consultation, it's not just around telling people what to eat. And one of the things that other professions do relatively well compared to, I think, you know, what we're learning from other professions as a more newer profession, particularly in the advocacy area, is understanding the benefit, not just of the nutrition or the diet, because it's very easy to say this is the best diet for you. But without an understanding of the medications that they're taking, their lifestyle, their family situation, other health conditions that they have and other health conditions that their family have. On top of that, we've got cultural considerations, where they live, access to food, all of those types of things. So a dietitian has a strong focus on that nutrition assessment and diagnosis, and really looking holistically at what is going to improve the certain goal that their client may have around improving their health. So we do that initially. Then we negotiate and work with the client on what is the best solution for you as a client. And it may not be the best solution as something that's long-term, ultimately the best solution, but it may be a stepped approach. So we might start with a couple of considerations and things that can be implemented really easily and maintained, and then start to introduce strategies along that time. But the real benefit is not just the type of diet, because we're always asked as dietitians, what's the best diet to eat? And I'm sure pharmacists and those people listening will be asked, what vitamins and minerals do I need? And it's great, because sometimes people give some wonderful advice, but often they may be neglecting certain, like, drug nutrient reactions or nutrient reactions, taking nutrients at different times, or taking nutrients over and above diet may not actually be beneficial. It might actually be detrimental. So these are the types of things that working with a dietitian can help with. So referring to a dietitian, whether it's in a clinical setting or in private practice, is really helpful, particularly in those areas of what is the right thing for this person to be doing when it comes to nutrition and dietary intake. But then on top of that is what is going to give the maximal benefit of the medication that they've just been prescribed, or supporting them to make the changes that they may know that they need to make, or they may think that they know the changes they need to make. But having a professional like a dietitian who's trained in nutrition counselling as well as nutrition diagnosis and providing advice can be really, really helpful in getting people to actually achieve their goals.
Well, speaking of a trained and professional dietitian, it's probably something that might be important to clear up at this point, and that is the difference between a dietitian and a nutritionist. I think most of those listening would understand that there is a difference, but maybe not appreciate what that difference actually is. So it'd be great if you could explain it to us.
Yep. So Dietitians Australia is the credentialing body for the credential accredited practicing dietitian. So that is equivalent to registration. And to get that registration, you need to go through an accredited program at one of the accredited universities. And that can be minimum of 4-5 years. And it can be either a bachelor's program or it can be a health science bachelor or something similar, and then a graduate entry master's. With nutrition, there's a range, or a nutritionist, there's a range of different programs that you can do and still call yourself a nutritionist. And that can range from a couple of week course at a personal training academy. It can be a really fancy named program, but it may not have that level of scrutiny, that level of requirement to be a health practitioner. So accredited practicing dietitian is the only nutrition profession that is credentialed and able to provide services under Medicare and Department of Veterans Affairs. But it's not saying that there aren't some wonderful nutritionists out there, because there are some great university-trained nutritionists, those even, you know, with a PhD that are leaders in their field. But when you're referring someone for clinical advice, referring them to an accredited practicing dietitian gives you that level of assurity that they do have their credential, they do have to do their CPD, they do go through a provisional year, and you just can't be certain of that when you're working with a nutritionist, and particularly if they have that levels of sales training. And to be honest, it is something that we do see in the pharmacy industry sometimes, and often I'll ask the person who's giving me some advice around nutritional intake or vitamins or supplements, their qualifications, and often it isn't a comprehensive enough course for me to feel comfortable that the advice I'm getting is right for me and balanced. So it is one area that, you know, we do need to work on as a profession of providing that education.
Understandable. Thanks for that explanation. Tara, we've heard the saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. It's a saying that talks to preventative action. Dietitians like pharmacists and GPs, you all help to support Australia's healthcare needs by mostly trying to focus on preventing serious illness. Can you tell us a little bit more about the role dietitians have in preventative healthcare rather than reactive healthcare, and the benefits that visiting a dietitian and working with them can have for patients?
Obviously, from my opinion, everyone will benefit from seeing a dietitian, regardless of what their goals are, because it just allows you, similar to having an accountant or checking something over with a lawyer, there's a lot of things that sometimes you go to a professional and you think, oh yeah, I could probably have done that myself. But having that assurance that you're getting the best advice, you're getting up-to-date evidence from someone that's trusted is really important. We do have a different group of professionals as dietitians. We have community dietitians and we have dietitians who work in population health and prevention. So they look at the holistic view of how do we improve nutrition in our country, and look at that from a population level. As an organisation, one of the things that we're really pushing for is the reinvigoration of the National Nutrition Policy. It's been over 30 years since we've had a National Nutrition Policy in this country, and it means that we don't have that targeted approach and we don't have that sustainable approach across different departments that within government and within policy that we really, really need to see some changes. So we often think, and when I say we, more the Australian public rather than dietitians, think, well, if people were just educated, but in truth, education doesn't seem to work. It's more around empowering people, supporting people to make changes that, you know, are right for them, not just telling people what they do, what they should do. So dietitians in this area, they look at things from policy level within governments, within organisations, food supply. So we know in our most regional, remote parts of Australia that food supply is one of the major issues that we do have. And it's not around educating people on the food that they should be eating. When it's $30 for a head of broccoli, regardless of your knowledge in health, you're not going to buy that when you can buy a food that will feed the whole family for less than half of that. So it might be around you know, dietitians working with governments and within organisations to look at, well, how do we support subsidisations of transport for food, for example, or support programs that allow people to grow their own food and, you know, have their own food supply within that community. Those are the types of things that dietitians do. So as I said before, what dietitians do in practice really does vary. But like in areas that are, you know, more urban areas, for example, private practice dietitians, they work with schools, they work with childcare centres, they work with aged care facilities, because these are the areas that provide those starting voices. And if you're getting good food and good, there's good nutrition policy within things like hospitals, community health centres, all of those areas, that can be very helpful. And some of those health promoting strategies, even with the media, is helpful as well. So we do work in a range of different areas, as I said before, but those that particularly focus on prevention is a bit of a different type of role than what we would see pharmacists referring to dietitians for. But local level, that can certainly be beneficial.
I think it's an important point that you make, that it isn't just about education, because by and large, I mean, you probably correct me if I'm wrong, but by and large, the advice around good eating hasn't changed immensely over the years, but the barriers to being able to make those choices and being empowered to be able to make good food choices run so much more deeper than just whether you should eat this or not eat that. So I think you make some good points that the work nutritionists do and Dietitians Australia isn't just about trying to educate what people should and shouldn't eat. So Tara, some of the areas that both pharmacists and dietitians are quite familiar with are heart health, diabetes, and even mental health areas like depression. Can you talk a bit about whether there would be a benefit to have a dietitian in the pharmacy engaging with patients and staff, and how this would help everybody involved?
I think having a dietitian in pharmacy is, you know, a really great idea, particularly as a community service, but also a good idea for ensuring that people are worked with to talk about their goals from a different perspective rather than just medication, and or they're worked with to support to take that medication. So particularly around signs and symptoms, for example, when we look at things like PTSD, we know when people take antipsychotic medication, they can put on up to 20 kilograms of weight if they don't have support. By having a dietitian involved at the very beginning when they're prescribed the medication, can reduce that dramatically, and they're not going to lose weight from what the evidence shows, but they can maintain their weight, maintain their health, and they remain on their medications. When we look at supplementation to support vitamins, minerals, and then other new supplementation, looking at the evidence base behind what they should be taking, when they should be taking, how they should be taking it, and how it interacts with their food and with their other medication can be also very important from a point of view of getting the most out of their health. So that's important for people with chronic diseases, but also with taking other medication like things like your antibiotics. You know, we have this ongoing advice and it's, you know, it's one of those things that we do see where some of the education is coming from the companies that are providing things like vitamin, mineral, probiotic supplementation, all of those types of groups. And that can be, you know, a bit of a conflict. It can be misleading, and you might not be giving your patients the right advice that they do need to actually get the outcome that they're looking for. Yes, it would be great, but it might not be the outcome that they're looking for from that specific product, or they may need to take much more or much less than the dose that's on the side of the packet. Similar to where personalized medicine is going, personalized nutrition is one of the things that I think is going to really change the game of health. So those general principles around healthy eating have certainly not moved very much. But what we understand from a personalization point of view, so eating for your genetics, eating for your microbiome, eating specifically for your cultural background, really has changed over the last few years. And it's something that a dietitian can help your patients assess and then provide what is the right diet for their personal situation. And sometimes that may be the diet or the eating pattern that they can comply with that suits their lifestyle, that fits in with their lifestyle, rather than what everything else says should be they should be eating or they shouldn't be eating.
Tara, are there any examples of ways your members are working hand in hand with pharmacists and even looking at different models that work best when it comes to operating collaboratively with pharmacists and nutritionists?
I'd love to see some research about how a dietitian and can work within a pharmacy. We know that pharmacies do have a bigger footprint than what dietitians do. And as I said before, we are a relatively small profession. And also the ease of access for community pharmacy is something that is really, really important and can mean that it's the first point of call for the community when they do have issues. So a couple of things that I have seen within pharmacies is having dietitians providing consultations, and whether that is funded through Medicare, Department of Veterans Affairs, other care plans, or whether it's self-funded. But I haven't seen any research or seen some really good case studies on where that's really worked to be able to say what is best practice and what isn't best practice. I think from this stage where we're at and where the workforce is within dietetics, it may be that best practice is simply understanding what dietitians do and referring when you do have a client that you think may benefit from working with a dietitian. And the same thing with dietitians, you know, talking to the pharmacist, talking about different advice with nutrient and drug interactions rather than just seeing the patient and not communicating that back. I think, you know, as allied health professionals, we do very well reporting back to GPs, but I think for full holistic patient-centered care, we should really be working as that multidisciplinary team. And part of that is communicating back the work that we have done with clients and suggestions that we've given them that may provide some insight to at least that particular patient, but also education for future patients for pharmacists as well.
Apart from the research that you just spoke about, which would, if it was undertaken, hopefully provide an impetus for more collaboration, is there anything you think would be good to change at the moment to make it possible for pharmacists and dietitians to work together better, apart from maybe just the communications and the reporting back that you just spoke about?
Yeah, so it is something that Dietitians Australia is pushing for. As I said before, we really think that affordability and access to dietitians need to be improved to all allied health in truth. When you have a look at things like the review of the Better Access to Mental Health program, one of the things that it shows is that people who can afford to see health practitioners are benefiting from the program. But those people who are lower socioeconomic, those people who have higher barriers and are more vulnerable, are not always seeing allied health professionals because it is seen as a discretionary purchase. And I think that that's something that we really need to continue to advocate for, is being able to access funded, whether that's state funded or federally funded, allied health professional services. And that can help us improve workforce issues and medical professionals as well, because it does allow people to see the right practitioner at the right time, coordinated through the GP, being able to see that professional, whether they've got the financial means. Because what we're seeing in this country is that people who need to get services cannot access them because they can't afford them. But those people who can afford them, they can access them, and they're improving their health, and the gap is just getting bigger.
Speaking about referrals, which we touched on a little bit earlier, many are familiar with the concept that proper nutrition is good for your mental health. However, what many people might not be aware of is the role that dietitians can play for patients who are already being medicinally treated for mental health conditions. It'd be great if you could explain that a little bit further and why a pharmacist involving a dietitian can be important for those patients.
There's quite a lot of evidence about the benefit of nutrition and also the benefit of working with a dietitian with a range of mental health conditions. Of course, the one that we know about well, eating disorders, disordered eating, poor relationships with body image and poor relationships with food is one of those areas that people understand and they get. But improving nutrition or the impact of poor nutrition on mental health is not really well understood from a public domain and even from other health professionals. So it is something that Dietitians Australia is promoting and advocating for, is dietitians as mental health practitioners, and really supporting those clients who are on medication or who aren't on medication either because they may improve through lifestyle changes or they may have side effects that make it not suitable for them to take medication. So dietitians work in a range of different areas with mental health. We did a submission and presentation to the Select Committee on mental health and suicide prevention last year, which highlighted some of the evidence that we do have around seeing a dietitian where there is a delay to seeing a psychologist can improve mental health of mood disorders such as depression and anxiety. I've spoken a bit before around the evidence around PTSD and weight reduction of working with a dietitian on diagnosis before taking medication. And then we also have a lot of anecdotal evidence and lower level evidence around working with a range of conditions like ADHD, ASD. So when you've got a client who is taking different types of medication for mood disorders or for mental health illnesses, it may be worthwhile seeing if they have worked with a dietitian before and if it can be beneficial for them, particularly if they do have symptoms that we want to reduce so that they can remain on the medication that they need or have other treatments that they do need. So it is one of those things, as I said before, that is not well understood. But we do have enough evidence around nutrition and, of course, exercise, working with exercise physiologists as well, beneficial for lots of conditions such as particularly mood disorders and things like addiction, PTSD as well.
Important work. Tara, as touched on earlier, Dietitians Australia do a lot of advocacy and policy work for the dietetics profession, and you alluded to some of those areas earlier. It'd be great if you could tell us a little bit more about some of the advocacy and policy work you're currently doing, as in what is the focus? And I've heard about the Parliamentary Friends of Nutrition, which I'd like to hear more about.
We are very excited to be launching the Parliamentary Friends of Nutrition on Monday, actually, as part of Dietitians Week. It was something that we had wanted to do and we felt like would be important to do ever since releasing our work towards a national nutrition policy. It has had a lot of support, and that support has moved that formation of that group up earlier than we had expected. So the launch of the Parliamentary Friends of Nutrition has come along a little bit earlier than we have expected. We're very excited to have Senator Helen Polly and Bridget Archer MP for their leadership in starting this important group. And we really think that it's going to start that dialogue and support for things that we are pushing towards, like the National Nutrition Policy, because there are lots of things within nutrition that are segmented that we do get asked about from a policy and advocacy point of view. But by having that holistic framework, overarching framework and overarching nutrition policy is really important so that we are on the same page and that we continue working towards our goal of a better, healthier Australia. So very exciting. We do have, as well as the National Nutrition Policy, we are advocating in the areas of aged care nutrition. As you've probably seen in the news, the levels of malnutrition, and I'm sure many pharmacists are involved in working with clients who are at risk of or who are suffering from malnutrition, that rate in aged care facilities is very high and in some places up to one in two people. So having dietitians within every aged care facility to ensure that malnutrition screening is up to date and followed up on, and prevention through good nutrition, through having supplements for healthy food within aged care facilities, is something that's really, really important. On top of this, our final area of advocacy at the moment is disability, but it doesn't mean that there's other areas that we're not working towards. Of course, First Nations health is big on our agenda, improving food security, improving access for chronic diseases, and looking at how we work with people who are living with obesity and other health conditions that dietitians can help with.
Well, speaking of Dietitians Week, as you said, that's next week and this episode goes live on that Monday. It's a week all about spreading awareness about what dietitians do and how they improve our lives. So as we start to move to the end of the show, can you leave the pharmacists listening and those working in the pharmacy industry listening? What is it that you want them to know about the dietitian field or practice?
I think one of the things to understand about dietitians and the dietetic profession is that it's much more broad than people think, and the range of conditions and the people that we support is much more broad, and what dietitians can do and how we can help is really misunderstood and something that we do want to celebrate our, what we call our ordinary people as members doing extraordinary things, because the number of stories that we get from clients, from organisations, from manufacturers that work with our members, is really heartening to see that the good work that they do is changing people's lives every day. So I think that's something that I'd like to leave the pharmacists with. Thank you for supporting us on Dietitians Week. Reach out to your local dietitian, or if they reach out to you, doing something with them this week would be a wonderful recognition of the work that they're doing for the community.
I just wanted to pick up on some of that wonderful feedback that you get from people that you've helped. Is there an anecdote that you can provide that really drives it home, maybe one that you've been involved with?
Oh, it's interesting because the most recent things that I'm involved in, and I don't want to lead you on something different, is mostly in athletes doing some wonderfully extraordinary, crazy things like swimming across English channels or doing ice swims. So that's the work that I do. And it's interesting when you start looking at the perceptions versus reality. And sometimes you get people who come to see you and they say, well, I know what I have to do, but, you know, X, Y, and Z. And when we start to work with them, I can't tell you how many times people said to me, I wish I was referred earlier. I didn't realize how much you could help me with, or I thought I knew everything there was to know about nutrition and diet. And there are certain things within a public domain, but there's other things that, you know, we learn not just through our evidence base, but also through that experience of the number of people that you see every day. And the experienced pharmacist would know that as well. They see thousands of people, and that allows you to put together some of the ideas and the strategies that may help the next person. And although it may be something small to you, by changing someone's health and improving their symptoms or allowing them to stay on a medication or allowing them to improve their bowel health or their energy really changes someone's world. So I think it's just something that we as health professionals do all the time. But the amount of stories that we hear, not just from our members, but also from the clients that I'm privileged to work with or have been privileged to work with, health professionals, not just dietitians, also pharmacists, other health professionals, they don't celebrate themselves enough, because certainly patients and clients frequently celebrate them. And I think sometimes you think you're just doing a minor change, but that minor change can have big impacts on people's lives.
Tara, if what we've spoken about today is piquing people's interest, what can they do? Where can they go to find out more?
So our website, dietitiansaustralia.org.au, reaching out to your local dietitian, inviting them into your pharmacy to talk a little bit about what they do, the types of clients that they see. You may find that you've got a few in your area and they may focus on different areas, or they may have different personality styles that work with different patients. So reaching out to your dietitian friends, looking at a way that you can refer and communicate and really work together to have that patient-centered care is something that I recommend you all do.
Tara Diversi, President of Dietitians Australia, thank you so much for coming on the show today and sharing with us. And I hope Dietitians Week is all that you hope it will be.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
Happy Dietitians Week. And Tara has given us some amazing insights into the world of dietetics and the many areas in which a dietitian can support a pharmacy's patient on their healthcare journey. I hope that this episode has given you a better understanding of dietitians and their work, and that it might even encourage you to work closely with a dietitian to further support your patients and their healthcare journey. I've been your host, Daniel Oyston, and you've been listening to episode 119 of the PBCN podcast.
The PBCN podcast, supporting your journey every step of the way. For more resources, to access support or advice, or to view this episode's show notes, visit guild.org.au.